It's near 9 degrees in downtown Toronto. And here's a look at the forecast for Metro Toronto and vicinity.
CBC Stereo, Toronto and Peterborough.
So I just got back from the International Convention of DJs, and we decided unanimously that the popular dance tempo of 110 beats per minute will be henceforth referred to as the Rodney King tempo. 110 beats per minute, the groove that sets entire cities ablaze.
Hello, Mr. Holmes. Tell me, what do you deduce? Oh, Sherlock Holmes. What did you deduce? Well, my dear Watson, if you're asking me, the answer to your question is elementary. There's a hellhound on the loose.
What, Holmes?
That's what I deduce.
Hellhound?
Yeah. There's a hellhound on the loose. That's what I deduce.
Oh.
Well, by the prince of these paws, there's a hellhound on the loose.
Don't much like the sound of that, Holmes.
Better stay indoors. Keep off the moors.
Rather.
Double boast, best of your doors. Here's a pounding skull beneath his paws. Cracking bears between his jaws. Well, there's a hellhound on the loose. That's what I deduce. Yeah. Rock.
Henro. What about the shimmy, Holmes?
Swing, baby, swing. The hellhound pop.
Oh, hell, Rock.
Ask me my head cap and my calabash.
Elementary, my dear Watson. Astonishing, Holmes. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you say so. The Headcoats, my dear Watson, 7-inch single, 1992, released from the Headcoats on the Estrus record label out of Washington. They have been signed to Sub Pop, and they're also putting out Billy Headcoat, who's the leader of the Headcoats, has started what he calls a charity label, which is going to be releasing records put out by his friends. In fact, there'll be a the Headcoat SEP, which is the female half of the group, putting a record out on Billy's charity label. Billy says, if trendy assholes want to give me their cash... That's their problem. Welcome to The Waves, everyone. I'm Brent Bambury. Tonight, a meeting with the media guru whose points of reference include McLuhan, Zappa, Joyce, and LaRouche. Bob Dobbs will be here to talk about the myth of corporate media and swimming in the electronic environment of these wild, wild times. There's also a new compact disc put out by producers for Bob, which includes some of Bob's factoids and wisdoms called Bob's Media Ecology. We'll be sampling stuff from this, but mostly we'll be talking to the oracle and visionary Bob Dobbs, who will explain it all for you on this edition of the program, Microwaves for Micro Minds. Before we heard Melody Dog, Futuristic Lover, 7-inch single from Katrina and Pat and their Toy Orchestra on K Records, produced by Steve Pastel. Fang Records out of New York, a great, great roster of bands on, I mean, I don't know what the music's pleasant neighbor, they gotta be good. This is a song about something warm and fuzzy, like something you just took out of the dryer. Hey, from Thirsty Ears, 1992 release, it's a college radio thing, isn't it? It is a college radio thing. But it's nice. It's cute, you know? And Snugglies are those pajamas that have feet in them, right? That you get to wear between the ages of 3 and 6. And when you walk along the floor, they go, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I remember my Snugglies. Okay, Dr. Dre of MTV Rap says, funk should stink. And since, does it have anything to do with the Church of the Subgenius?
Oh! I know I'm drunk now. Ladies and gentlemen, I forgot my favorite man sitting over there. His name is...
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. 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 Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina.
Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina wants to quit. You really make me sick with your fraudulent behavior. You're gonna make me slip in an army to the savior. Why don't you behave, you little rug rat? Take a little kiss from the tabloid. Because I know I'm not paranoid. When I say I saw you trying to mock me, now you and your crew are on the mission trying to hawk me. But it isn't happening, your fraudulent flows. You used to front big time, now I suppose that everything's cool since the style of apparel you adopted. You used to make fun of, but now you wanna rock it. So you gotta kick it with the homie. But DEL is already hit to your crony. You can see your feet is gonna bounce this, and never have we seen a brother who was over like, Mr. Dabalina.
Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina. Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina. Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina. Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina.
You thought you could manipulate, you thought you could fool me. Mr. Dabalina, teach wisdom, put me on a stuff, and then he fooled me. Friends could be fraudulent, just to wait and see. First he was my money grip, then he stole my honey dip. Mr. Dabalina is a circus, don't you agree? The little two-timer resembles Aunt Jemima, with jeans and a dirty white hoodie. Seems like he wouldn't be a snake, or would he? The sky is coming all sides of the snake. Notice the facade of the snake. They all catch the bait, even though
laugh. Bob Dabalina.
Del, the funky Homo Sapien from his debut full-length vinyl, I Wish My Brother George Was Here, 1991 release. Mr. Dabalina's name of that track. Del, the cousin of Ice Cube, who actually has the first words in this record, is from what's left of South Central L.A. For those of you who found Finnegan's Wake a piece of cake, stay tuned. Bob Dobbs is next.
Blood. Any person with staying power is to be devoured. Who can really claim? integrity's obliterated. The least we configured, we're spitting out artists to see the thought. Any review will do, even if it's a flaw. I'm going in one era and out the other. I'll do a funny thing to pad my bank account, cause nothing counts, even in large amounts. Electricity's taken the world but dawn. There's been little relief since I was born. The second evolution, 1842. Let's tame this animal and be more cool, cause there's cynicism running rampant on the planet. There's more people left, including Michael and Janet.
Grammar Rap, that is from Bob's Media Ecology, produced by Producers for Bob, and that's Bob Dobbs, who is my guest tonight in studio. Good evening.
Good evening, Brent.
What are you, Bob? I mean, am I supposed to call you a priest? Are you a host? Are you a political figure? Are you a Marshall McLuhan impersonator? What are you?
I'm the mixed corporate media environment.
Mixed corporate media environment.
Basically, okay. Electrical environments.
Take me through that step by step. Why mixed media?
Well, first of all, I like to say that I'm in the dark about this CD as much as you are. I haven't been in Toronto for 6 months, and I don't know where this came from, but I'm suspicious it has something to do with Tom Touche, because I think I briefed David on this once before, David Oancia, that Tom Touche orchestrated the removal of me from CKLN mm-hmm. in the summer of 91, and he thinks that that's what he accomplished. And meanwhile, I've gone on to bigger and better things, and then I get called back to Toronto to deal with this, and I assume it's put out by him, but the names on it are Dave Neufeld and Nelson Thal.
Do you know these guys?
No, I've never heard of them.
Well, this is Dove Entertainment, which is the company
right.
that put out the CD. Do you know anyone at Dove Entertainment?
No.
So this product has appeared, and you're here with copies of it tonight, but you don't
right.
know where it came from.
Well, this was sent to me, and my security asked me to be here at 6 o'clock tonight, and I can be here pretty quickly, and so here I am. But I'm not that versed on this whole situation. But what is interesting, the reason I'm suspicious it is Tom Touche, is that there's a memo to Prince Charles from June 4th, 1987.
Yeah.
And that's just before I took over chairmanship of the Secret Council 10 in February 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Stang of the Dallas Church and
yep.
of the Church of the Subgenius had a lot of my files, but he never would have had a memo that I did in 1987 because I wasn't in Dallas after 1982.
But you did write this memo.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this is what's interesting. This is why it gives me the clue. It's my butler, Tom Touche, because he would be the only one who would have access to this memo.
But wait a minute now. Prince Charles has access to it. That's who you sent it to.
Yes, he would have it, but he wouldn't release it to anybody. I mean, he's not going to
publish that. I mean, he's kind of a weird guy.
No, he isn't.
He might have been out talking to the plants or something.
No,
and just
no.
Out.
Prince Charles, since I beat him on the Secret Council of 10 election in February 88, which I was competing against Turnin Taxis,
mm-hmm.
The richest man in the world, or
yep.
at least Europe, and Prince Charles, and a man by the name of Romanov, who worked with Gorbachev, and myself, four of us.
Mm-hmm.
And since I took over, Prince Charles wouldn't be able to do this kind of thing because he has to sort of separate himself from me because he has to lock down his leftover principality as a cover, as a media fake, as a front, as a mixed corporate medium to pretend that he's still functioning, to keep the myth going that his stage still exists.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see, he's having trouble.
So he's not a powerful guy?
Not anymore.
All right.
He's powerful compared to you, but not in relation to me. And so the only clue to this must be this memo from Tom Touche, who worked with me till 91.
What is the role of the Secret Council of 10?
They do the solar theater. They do the programming of the environment. And since Bob's Mediacology is an accurate statement, and you note the CD says, a souvenir from a ritual in progress.
Mm-hmm.
The lockdown of Bob Rule is this ritual in progress. And this is a souvenir from outtakes from CKLN from 88 to 91. Bob's Mediacology works on four levels. On the first level, the most complex, the formal level, it's programming our sensory environments For example, we programmed Visual Space for 300 years under printing press conditions. Mm-hmm. Then we brought in acoustic space retrieval with radio, and then tactile space with television. So, and that's tactility, television. So you're working with the tactile sensory environment.
Okay, that's number one.
That's the first level, the most general sensory programming of population. The second level of Bob's media ecology is controlling, it's basically advertising. But we call it advertising and programming, or advertising and then the show or the information. But from the perspective of the first level, they merge. But on the second level, Bob's media ecology, it's programming media content, mm-hmm. which is usually a previous environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'll say about that level. The third level is bureaucratic media ecology, which largely consists of Big Brother work, what Orwell tried to whistleblow on with 1984. That is basically assassinations, political smear jobs, framings, sort of battles behind the scenes.
Now we're getting interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that's the third level of programming. And then the fourth level is what I'm an expert at, is collective clairvoyance. And that is the sum of the first three levels that are creating a synergistic effect, greater than the sum of the parts, that is the result, day in, day out, of what all these various levels of programming contribute to.
Okay,
so
what
the fourth level is the final level.
And when you say clairvoyance, does that mean that through nothing else other than the activity of the mind, you can direct all of these three levels to one point of interest, to one aim, one collective goal?
Well, if you think of mind as inside your skull, then you're limiting. That's a Western cultural percept. ESP is gesture as well. Mm-hmm. It's actually using all your faculties. So that tactility, comprehensive tactility, would be complex clairvoyance. And this is the effect of crowds and individuals intermingling. I guess the best images of that are fractals.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be an approximation.
That's
of
a computer-generated image that has a kind of infinity to it.
Yeah, the same order. It keeps appearing while there's amazing detail, variety. So that is an approximate visual image in motion of the sum total of history and evolution.
Yeah, but we're distracted more, I think, by the third level than by anything else, because the third level drives the other two minor levels. Okay, so, I mean, let's take an example like JFK, the movie. What's going on there? Give us a media conscious analysis of what's happening.
Well, because we're in the, if you follow the chart in Bob's media ecology, you see from 1977 to 1990, you have, you lock down mythic government warfare, and you have as the cover universal government warfare. But from 1990 to 1920, you have holeopathic retrievals where you lock down Bob Rule and mythic government warfare. Now, mythic government, a government is any environment, not just bureaucracy or parliaments. So you have all the mixed corporate media, which I referred to earlier, battling as a fake, while the real action is a new world order or lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, George Bush is bringing in the new world order as a kind of new centralized control of the whole planet, offering each culture a decentralized front to have their
own
room.
But nobody buys that. I mean,
this is the point, is that he is attempting the pink version of Bob media, of Bob Rule lockdown, whereas the real complex clairvoyance, which I'm accomplishing and bringing in the new solar order, is what's really going to happen between 1990 to 2020. Now, holeopathic retrievals is because everything disappeared, as the first cut says, by 1990, we have nothing but retrievals. But they are hologramic and homeopathic. Now, homeopathy deals with the dilution of environments, and so the more you do with less, the more potent it is. Do you know about homeopathy? Have you ever heard of that medicine?
Yeah, it's like when you eat a herb or something because you have a toothache.
No, you don't use a herb. It's a diluted version of the essence of the herb.
Okay.
So that it's almost, you're almost eating nothing. Mm-hmm. It's a little drop. Well, in other words, it's Bucky Fuller's principle, etherealization. You do more with less. So this is a 200-year-old medicine. So you take a retrieval of any event in history, and JFK is a retrieval of that 1963 paradigm,
mm-hmm.
and it's retrieved as an event, picking the right American biased medium, movies. American, that is America's cultural medium, movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the JFK revelations never had any power when written in the book. like Mark Lane's books and these things.
John DeLillo even.
Right.
Okay.
But you take Americanism, own bias, and put that, what is in books, and put it in movie form, it communicates. But it's a tiny event that shook up all the American culture. Hollywood and Washington.
Yeah, but so where did the event come from? Where did
it came from 1963. It's a retrieval, but it's a diluted, wholly opathic input into the mixed corporate media interaction. So it's a figure in this ground. And this figure, because it's so tiny, it's one isolated political event. There's been so many assassinations, which I was involved in from before 63 and after. I mean, I was involved with Martin Luther King and George Wallace. That is only one assassination of the hundreds that have happened since 1963.
Okay, what I want to
so
know is not
is
really.
Why is that one retreat?
That's what my question to you is. Why is this particular assassination? Who is orchestrating the fact that the American imagination is so caught up in something that happened 30 years ago? I mean, who is behind the fact that we can't get over this mystery?
Because we never left 1945, so you have to understand that we've just been running in the same spot, as the quote in the CD says, and layering information over on information. So the principle from Finnegan's Wake is past times become pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
So we now have a whole bunch of historical events since 1945 on record in all different media. These can be replayed for the population's nostalgia or a sense of involvement.
Why 45? What happened in 45?
That was when history ended with the exclamation point of the atomic bomb. That was the end of linear history, because the atomic bomb was the flip from mechanical weaponry into software weaponry. And because the atomic bomb created decentralized warfare where you really couldn't control it, you had to bring in real control, and it made war obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, the conflict of warring factions ended in 1945 once the world was inside the atomic bomb environment. See what I mean? Because it's so decentralized, it had to be controlled.
Right. So our perception of all time since then is no longer linear. We don't see it in segments. We see it, what, sequentially? We see it. How do we see it then? We see it as little fragments that we replay over and over again?
Well, rock and roll and pop culture has been trying to mirror the training of the population's perception of the TV effect, so that the discontinuous, multi-leveled, acoustic simultaneity of the environment since 1945 is the closest that tactile man can come to, because it's ear. It's still near the head, the ear and the eye. But the tactility is that we are merged into the mosaic screen of the TV mesh with the pulsating dots, which you don't exist. I mean, the closest image you can get, I guess, is electrons and neutrons, or some kind of atomic entities. So we retrieve all the mythic stages, movies, books, newspaper, and the content therein from history as something to live in.
Mm.
So that JFK was the first fake president of the United States as a media image. And because he was using the TV medium, it threatened certain other media. So other media establishments had to get rid of him. But because we're in the post-TV age, we now can realize the full behind-the-scenes action
mm-hmm.
of the TV age.
Mm-hmm.
And the key figure for that would be JFK and Marilyn Monroe and
mm-hmm.
what happened to them. So we retrieve it as a form of content, the second level of media ecology, to wallow in and pretend we're learning new things from.
And this is probably why something like the New World Order doesn't work, because there's no sort of TV image to equivalate it, understandable, to allow us to drink it in. And therefore we know, if you can't show us on TV the New World Order, then it's probably not real.
Well, it's already here. Since all cultures are the content, when a German watches a Canadian program, the content is German, because he brings his cultural preference and bias into it. So the user is the content. We already have this massive interplay that my colleagues and I do in the Secret Council 10 of making sure each mythic stage, each technological environment has a chance to function. All right, with that mixed corporate media interplay, the anarchy of different cultures responding to this is already allowed to happen. It's a decentralized ecology.
Mm.
So the problem with the pink ecology of George Bush is, of course, you can't impose an image on it because it's invisible.
But is George Bush more pink than the people he's talking to? I mean, is he that far out of it? Or the guy used to be the director of the CIA. You'd think that he would know something about what's going on.
No, the CIA is a puny organization compared to the DIA and institutions you never heard of that manufactured the AIDS virus. I mean, I don't even think George Bush knew that. He only worked at a certain level. I mean, it's his own personal ambition to become president of the United States, because in his limited view, he thought that was the most powerful position, but he didn't know.
I mean, the people in the United States know how pink the guy is, right?
Right. But the people aren't listening. The audience has disappeared for George Bush. It's disappeared for all the media.
Disappeared for the Cosby Show.
No, it's disappeared for everybody.
Yeah, okay.
The planet has been absorbed, as you see here. Even the universe has been absorbed. That's why the crop circles are showing up. The aliens are having a bit of an identity crisis, so they want to communicate to us because they've been subsumed in the electronic merging.
Are we getting TV shows from outer space at this point?
No.
Will we ever?
No.
Why not?
I can't talk about that yet.
Do you actually mean to say that we are to give up technology forever, or is it just for a little bit?
Temporary wing. Just
temporary. Right.
What I call it is an ersatz, E-R-S-A-T-Z, which means fake. All right? An ersatz anti-environment to this situation we're in would be to have a temporary media fast, particularly the most prominent electric media of television.
Television especially.
Yeah, a temporary. I never would take a point of view or that any solution would be the final absolute solution.
Is it because the media is tainted?
No, it's because of the electronic dissonance, which is the formal effect of the electronic media archetypes battling it out and fighting the Battle of Jericho today. The content is only a mere appendages, which we interpret as anthropomorphic.
But is that medium inherently bad? Can it be used at all?
Oh, yeah, it's good and bad. You know, it has services and disservices. I don't like to use the word good and bad. It has services and disservices. The point is, moderation may be the best policy as we have moved into a totally new dimension, which the anthropomorphic element or the pinks of our time do not understand and cannot relate to. So let's give them a break and turn off the new element, the new water we're swimming in, so they can get a breather. Us subgeniuses can take the new any time, but we got to take a sense of managerial responsibility, ecological effects that we're all involved in, to give the pinks a chance to understand what has happened to them.
But we have to have this extreme response of turning everything off in order to, because we've been so overcome with media and media technology, that we have to do this to balance it out?
How about this, Wayne? This is my response to that. It is a balancing effort, but it will not happen. The point is that since content's irrelevant, let's make the most irrelevant conceptual program something that hogs all media content over the whole globe. In other words, just as George Bush hijacks the global media with his Iraq theater, why don't we hijack it and prop up a continuous Chinese water torture of talking about media ecology, even though we know we never could implement it? And you watch the effects of that. See, that's why we have Slack. We can implement this as an idea just by talking about it, but we don't have to worry about bureaucratizing the responsibility of implementing that program or that idea.
We hand the ball over to whoever's listening.
There's nobody to hand it to. There's nobody at the switchboard, and we know that. See, no idea, no program can have a continuous stronghold or watershed on the situation. That's the flux and fluidity of the electric environment. There is no ground for us to stand on. And there's no ground for any media archetype to flow and hold a position, no rock for it to connect with. Everything's basically disappeared.
Media fit the Battle of Jericho. That's a track from Bob's Media Ecology, the new compact disc on Dove Entertainment, featuring the words of Bob Dobbs, the discarnate words of Bob Dobbs, which is what we're broadcasting tonight as well. Although, I mean, I'm here with you. You're really here, aren't you? Are you real or are you your double?
Well, this is interesting. This is not discarnate. We are not going live in the radio medium yet.
No, but that's because the time zone thing in the country. I mean, we have all these time zones.
Right, that's a technical problem, but I mean, just the taping of it is not an electric discarnate experience. We're like packaging the discarnate experience. We're discarnate within this room.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're in that back room and here at the same time, which we can't do with our bodies.
Mm.
But it's puny compared to being on a radio environment live and interacting live with people. But you don't have to interact with people through a phone show. You just have to be like Barbara Frum everywhere at the same time. She's discarnate and we are where she is.
Mm-hmm.
And that place is hard to visualize where that is. Where is that point in space terms where everybody from all across Canada and the States is looking at Barbara Frum, even though it's not live, but any live show, looking at an image, and that image is in everybody's room. Where are we?
I don't know. I mean,
you can't visualize it.
No.
And that's why you can't visualize this tactile situation. So any attempts by scientists, sociologists, or George Bush to visualize the New World Order is puny and fails because you can't visualize it.
Well, what's this about doubles? Because you talk about doubles in your essay here. Does everybody have a double?
No, but you see, yeah, that's the multi-leveled. I talk about the media archetypes on the first level, Bob's Media Ecology, on the formal causality level. The environments have been regenerated through the civil war between the various technologies of the 20th century, and so they absorb each other's content for the ground or figure of their situation. All right, so that is the general level of doubles. And as we move into 1990 and holopathic retrievals, then you have retrievals of the movie industry and the TV industry and the radio industry and the magazine industry, which have no real basis anymore because it's a hologram. Mm. So on that level, what was the point, the question?
Does everyone have a double, I guess?
Oh, yeah, the doubles. Mm. So they are now doubles. The media archetypes are what we call fakes or genuine fakes. Now, the double on the anthropomorphic human scale is only for the 40 people in the Secret Council 10, because they're the only ones on the human scale managing this environment. So they...
You have a double.
Yes, I have many.
An anthropomorphic double.
Yeah.
So you might be a double. I mean, I'm not a double, but you could be
tonight. I could be a double tonight.
You could be somewhere else.
Yeah, but it's not a concern of yours that I'm a double. It's this is a...
Well, no. I mean, I wouldn't want to lend you any money because if I met you somewhere else, you might not want to pay me back.
Well, I, as Bob Dobbs, or even as double, I'm not going to ask for any money.
Okay.
All right? I mean, I don't need anything, so I'm not going to rip you off. So there's no problem on that level.
Good.
So there are no doubles for you people, other than you have a double in the discarnate voice that you put out every night.
Yeah, well, I have at least one double. I mean, because it goes out, as you say, we can't visualize that space, so it goes out many, many spaces. I mean, it goes
but
out...
But you're an appendage of that medium. The medium is radio. You're a content. And in relation to you, per se, which is a puny part of the radio environment, it's a double of you.
Mm.
But on the formal level, the first level, the doubles are the media environments themselves.
But I think my media environment is more real than myself as a person, as a sort of anthropomorphic being.
Well, you're on the right track, because look at the Rodney King problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now maybe the jury made the right decision based on visual data and visual facts and the old obsolete courtroom procedure.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, for the majority of the world, the reality is the TV screen. Because as we move more into new environments, new technological environments, the older ones assume an archetypal and a reality phase, a status of this is real. And so since TV's been around so long, that image is more real than any data that comes up in the course, in the courts. So that the George Bush and the judiciary have a problem. They're going to try to convince the world that that image is not real. And this is irresponsible not to explain the problem they have and to... keep using the TV environment in this situation where the people can't understand that they really do subconsciously believe it's real. And that's why the violence comes out.
Mm.
Because it doesn't matter on visual space level what the court came up with. So that's an example of the endless headache that these guys who run national bureaucracies or any of our institutions from the last 400 years, they are interacting, they have basically disappeared, and they're interacting with technological phases that themselves are assuming archetypal status and being phased out by new environments. So that's why George Bush cannot approximate an appropriate human scale image, because he's like 3,000 years behind the average experience of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you confirm it by saying your image, your acoustic experience on radio is more real to you than you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the discarnate effect. But that causes all kinds of problems in our brains, because we have a lot of cultural baggage that has to accommodate that. Your subconscious has to accommodate your new experience, and you're not aware of it, but it comes out in stress or in all kinds of problems. So that the
do I look stressed to you? Does this anthropomorphic self look stressed?
No, I'm talking in general. This is subconscious action. So
yeah.
That
I slept all day, so, you know.
That, well, you have time, right?
Yeah.
You're not doing other things.
That's right.
And you get to sleep. That's very important, to sleep. And the... So Terry Fox raises a lot of money for cancer research, and they're trying to find the cause of cancer. The cause of cancer is our electronic lifestyle juxtaposed with this old cultural baggage. This stress that science can't measure in typical laboratory terms, but if they begin to understand the research that's been done by Joyce and McClone and Finnegan's Wake, you can see that they kind of laid out the evidence of the causes of our stress today in their own printed works. So... that's our dilemma. And since I'm the only one who fully understands this, that's why I got the job of running the Secret Council 10.
Well, how is the coming millennium being used to get everybody, to mobilize people? I hear a lot of people talking about the millennium as though in this kind of Alvin Toffler-like way, yeah. You know, where they're predicting what's going to happen as a result of technology and as a result of media. And who's behind this, and what are they really trying to accomplish?
Well, why it's so easy for me to be behind this and evoke it is that I know certain effects are going to come from the holopathic interplay of mixed corporate media today, and I know that there's going to be a general global revulsion against technology in general, and therefore a great nostalgia for the first nature, not the second nature, which is our own man-made environment. The first nature is what Prince Charles is all about, ecology, saving the planet, saving the insects, saving the trees, saving the seas. He's not aware of the problem of interrelating the new nature, the second nature. That requires great ecological skill, how to relate the second nature back to the first. So since this is this environment is too overwhelming for people, they just resort to what we call at the church, the anthropomorphic scale, the human scale, the retrieval human scale. So you're going to see for the next 50 years the hoiking up of human scale, the human form as you and I look like. But that is not our real human form. Our human form is we are wearing all these media environments, mm-hmm. which are hard to see and visualize. You can only see the effects of them. So we will hoik up the what's traditionally known as the human image as the be-all, end-all, which will probably make a great nostalgia for ancient human forms of government, monarchies, and maybe even before that, the native Indian form of government, the mm-hmm. very tribal sharing form mm-hmm. of government. And that's part of the reason why the native Canadians are riding on a preference that's created by the mixed corporate media reality so that the federal government is going to give them some land. But the problem for the natives is that they're going to get the land, but the land is obsolete compared to the mixed corporate media environments. As a matter of fact, as revolting as it may seem to them, and it's hard for them to stop the drift that they can take advantage of now, probably the whole effort to make to renew recognition of native rights and create their own little local cultural zones is the greatest disservice they could make and have put upon them in dealing with the 21st century. But on the mixed corporate media level of Bob Media Ecology of content control, the second level, they will be celebrated in a losing struggle. But the image of the Indians, the image of this human-scale tribalism, the Amazon image, the old forms of natural ESP, these will be celebrated under the guise of eco-fascism for the next two generations at least.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the coming image, which is already here.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be an image that will be playing catch-up to the real dynamic, which is going on, which is the holopathic retrievals. So humanity in general screwed up three-quarters of its past and is going to screw up three-quarters of its future. Unless you help spread the word and we make a real breakthrough and have people understand by hearing the word of Bob what's happening.
Who's making the holograms?
On the first level, the formal controlling of the sensory typology is being done by investment by my solar bankers.
The former controlling of the sensory typology.
The formal.
Okay.
Formal. The first level.
Right.
It's being controlled by the World Bank and the IMF banker, who are a branch plant of the solar bankers, where you invest through visual space of money in certain inventions, certain new environments on a controlled scale, having studied the effects of them first and how they're going to affect all the different cultures. That is the, what was the question?
Who's making the holograms? I mean,
yeah, that is the
people
first
in labs
level.
Doing this? I mean,
yes. And that is the first level of formal ecology. Now, who's doing, what's the next point?
I don't know.
The question was
trying to find out where these people are working.
Right.
You know?
That's the formal level. And then the advertising level, that can be done by human pink greed. They will continue under the pressure of living in this situation. They will continue to manufacture new holograms for media content. The third level of the assassinations and control of interrelations with the aliens will be done by my associates who work on the what we call moral level of programming certain controls among the bankers. Certain bankers get out of hands, you have to off them, all right? And that's the hologram level there. The fourth level, the collective ESP, and your question is, this is a long answer, where are the holograms coming from? And is the slack point that I operate from is that I can see the effects of all this, and the holograms are generated by the interaction of the first three. So it's not a hard job from my perspective. But most people can't handle so much perpetual motion. Gurdjieff talked about the deep need in man is to have perpetual motion
uh-huh.
or slack. Most people can't handle that. If the idea of perpetual motion goes on endlessly, they get paranoid of unstoppability. So the real sub-genius learns how to do and deal with unstoppability. And because I've mastered that, then I can handle all four levels of media ecology. Because I can handle the allowance of many things to happen and not panicking within. Because if the panic and interplay, like raise up the acoustic sensory profile if you panic or lower the visual, if you panic and do that wrong, then you screw up the whole evolution that's been happening. So you see where come the holograms come out of us on the fourth level,
mm-hmm.
right. but not on the first three levels. They're managed.
Now, it seems like we're being directed to believe that the atomic threat has abated, right? But we're also being told that it's kind of just gone underground and it might pop up somewhere, like the Middle East, maybe,
yeah.
you know? And I'm wondering whether who's behind this orchestration of events?
That's the second level. That's the content-cultural battle. That's allowing each mythic stage, each culture, to have a reason to keep its tribe together to defend against the other tribe. So that on that level, each tribe is in a state of perpetual war readiness. And so we monitor that for those that believe that they're Americans, British, Africans, Zimbabweans, whatever cult Chinese, whatever cultural level they are, for those entities and pinks who believe that level, then they support that kind of cultural movie stage, mm-hmm. that hologram. The second level of paranoia we can manage and let it happen, so therefore... Necessary pause just to get the channeling. Therefore, the cultural paranoia is one of the mythic stages that we program. And so, of course, you have to tell them what should they be afraid of now? Well, the other culture, because it's out of control, because the superpowers don't control the one-world situation that happened since 1945, the controlling of the atomic environment. But remember, the atomic environment was short-lived. That ended by the time television surfaced in the middle 50s as a major environment. It obsolesced the atomic environment, but the atomic environment was used to control people's fear for 30 years.
And how much longer can it be used?
It can't be used anymore.
Okay.
So the new thing is, since every technological stage is like nature, it will continue. We still have an atomic environment, so we program that as something that's decentralized and out of control, and maybe some crackpot pink would use it. It's not within the control situation, and that generates the necessary paranoia for the cultures to keep those military structures going. Now remember, as I say in my liner notes of the CD, the global electric erosion continues. Now, that's a temporary situation of using cultural paranoia. There'll be new things coming up. For example, once the cause of AIDS is announced and the general fear of biological warfare, which is surfacing, that'll be the new environment that'll cause and keep going a mythic stage of cultural paranoia for tribal groups to be propped up by.
Mm-hmm.
So your question was basically focusing on the atomic environment and what will happen. I think I've explained what will happen with it, but it'll be subsumed within 10 years.
So the Exus have landed.
Yeah.
And they're out there.
They are not going to make themselves seen for a couple more years, but they are there communicating.
And when they do, what?
You may have drowned that word. I'll just say that word again, that phrase. They are communicating via the crop circles. That's very important. But they
communicating to whom? To each other? To us?
To us. To the human scale, to the anthropomorphic human. All right? And so the crop circles are very important to study. Now, what was the next point? You wanted to know...
When they make themselves known, who... What are they... Are they going to try... Are they want to help us? They want to control us? They want to...
No. Remember I said earlier they're having an identity crisis. Because mm-hmm. they're being subsumed by the electric environment, then that old natural universal environment, trillions of light years away, that kind of stuff we look out when we look at the sky, at the old nature,
mm-hmm.
they're coming in from that. And they want to study us and work with us to help to deal with this new environment the whole universe is subsumed in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to come as partners. And because they have a unique structure physically, so different from us, we will learn much from them. But they don't have a superiority attitude towards us. They are amazed at how we operate in our three-dimensional world. And they want to know how that's done because that's foreign to them. So it's a real mutual exchange of lifestyles. And with the purpose of orchestrating Bob's Meat Ecology in the universal structure or universal stage. But that is small and a hologram in itself compared to the holopathic retrievals of all the mixed corporate media environments. So because it's a great ecological maneuver to establish this contact, they are not allowing themselves to be seen. So anybody who claims they're being abducted, there's only been four people abducted in the 20th century, the Barney Hill couple, and two others haven't told anybody.
Mm.
You have maybe fringe pink psychiatrists going around analyzing people or claiming they're abductees. Not true. The exes would never abduct anybody. This was the disservice of Stang's book.
Well, then why'd they go to Barney Hill then?
Because they had to implement a recognition that they were out there. So the interesting thing about Barney Hill is that they programmed in their minds, when they went under hypnosis, a map of the universe, which did not exist from terrestrial, earthly, astronomical possibilities 20 years ago. So they gave, they put knowledge that we couldn't know in their minds, and then they drew the map, which was confirmed about 8 years later. That kind of knowledge we have to be impressed with, or Pink's have to be impressed with at least. Most abductees who claim they've been captured talk about this is a race, a super terrestrial experience that's going to come and save us or enslave us, all these scenarios. And you know that's faulty because it's based on a division and a hierarchy between them and us.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no division.
Anybody listening to this broadcast tonight or in the next few years outside of the globe, outside of this globe? Does it, I mean...
Oh, they will tonight, because I'm on, yeah. And they monitor it anyways. It's a very tiny...
Hello there. I'd like to say thank you for being with me.
Okay, Brent. We should say the address for Dove.
Oh, yeah. Well, can people get in touch with you, Bob? I mean, do they have to do this through Dove if they want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can... I'll give out the phone number. I'm not always there now, but the old phone number was 416-657-8040. If you listen tonight and you need some interpersonal reactions from me, try me on that message, though I can't guarantee I'll get back to you right away. But for the segments I've heard tonight, I like... Tom Touché did a fine job with Dave Neufeld, and so I recommend this purchase from Dove Entertainment. I guess you'll give the address of Dove?
I'll give the address. 2 Bloor Street West, number 100-159.
Give the phone number. That's more important.
Toronto. The phone number is 416-766-9612. There probably won't be anyone there tonight, but 416-766-9612. You could call first thing tomorrow. And
order the CD.
Are there any products that you would endorse other than this one?
Well, there's the previous tapes that they stole from me.
Okay, no, but I mean, other than Bob Dawes, like, would you ever do an ad for Pepsi, for example?
Oh, no. A product I'd endorse? Well, the Holy Offices. Marsha McLuhan, Herbert W. Armstrong, Lyndon LaRouche, Frank Zappa, Dr. Peter Beter, Mae Brussel, Finnegan's Wake, Cosmic Awareness, Garrett Dean in Nova Scotia, and Club 22. Those are the main sources I recommend for study.
Bob Dobbs, thank you.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you.